All right. Tonight,
regular meeting, 7 p.m. Thursday, November 10th, 2022. We call the meeting to order. We can all stand up. First off, anybody, Marine Corps veteran, happy birthday. Veterans tomorrow, Veterans Day. We have a 10:30 at Derby City Green. All welcome. Hopefully everybody shows up. Sarah, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Roll call. Barbara DeGennaro.
Here.
Anita Degato.
Here.
Sarah Witkowski.
Here.
Brian Coppola. Gino DiGiovanni.
Here.
Ronald Still.
Here.
Robert Hyder.
Here.
Charles Sampson.
Present.
Kevin Sharkin.
Here.
All right, all present and accounted. Additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda.
One deletion, 9.4, the section 195. That's just supposed to come back to us from planning and zoning.
Yeah.
So make the most.
Second. All right. First and second, any discussion?
Are we going to send it to planning and zoning?
I think they canceled their October meeting.
No. I mean, weren't we going to do something here and then send it to them? I thought.
They were looking at it as.
When we had our subcommittee meeting, when we brought this to the full board of planning, zoning, only had
No.
When it came out of subcommittee.
Not at any planning and zoning meeting that I've attended, which is
all. My ruling was going to be to refer to them, because under 8-3, they have the authority to enforce their zoning regulations. So my ruling was going to be that this board move to refer to zoning with recommendation of adoption.
Didn't last month we already refer it to zoning P&Z for consideration to come back to us? Yeah, I voted on that last month.
You sent it there last month for consideration, and now the question would going to be whether or not you wanted to send it with the recommendation that they actually take action on it. That would be what you would do. You actually want to send it there and say we believe you should adopt it or not?
No, the idea was that they look at it and just the opposite. They come back to us.
And I took a look at it. And under 8-3E, the zoning commission has the jurisdiction to enforce their zoning regulations. So they would adopt the ordinance because under 8-3E, they would adopt this. So any action taken here, it would be an action to send to them with a recommendation of adoption. Because that's where the jurisdiction lies with them.
We administer, they enforce, they follow.
So under 8-3E, the jurisdiction lies with them. So the ordinance has been created. And so it's their jurisdiction to adopt. So you'd be simply saying there's something that's been created, you think it's a good idea, and now it's up to them as to whether or not it gets adopted.
So we'd have to vote in favor first.
You'd be saying you support it.
Right. We'd have to vote. Yeah.
You support it, but just because you vote in favor of it doesn't put it into play. They have to support it. They have to vote in favor of it.
Okay.
Right. Your vote in favor of it would just be a vote to say we're recommending that you do this.
So is there a reason that that information was not brought to this board?
I'm bringing it to you now.
Well, I have not gone through it. I was waiting for the planning and zoning to. So
Mayor, my question would be if the planning and zoning changes something, we're going to have to amend what we already said. That.
But let me try to be clear.
Not changing, but like recommend something else.
Under 8-3E, the jurisdiction lies with your zoning commission. So they can do whatever they want. This was put together and was brought to you. Didn't have to be brought to you. It could have been brought directly to them. It was brought to you. Okay. And again, it didn't have to be brought to you. Could have been brought directly to them. You don't have to take any action. We could just bring it directly to them. If you don't want to take action, that's fine. It can be brought directly to the zoning commission. The suggestion is, if this body would like to send a positive message saying we believe this is a good idea, then what you'd be doing, it's a more of a ceremonial, we think this is a good idea. We support this, and it's sending a positive message to your zoning commission saying, we think this is a good idea for purposes of enforcement, but it has no legal effect. So if you want to take no action on it, we will simply bring it to your zoning commission, and they will look at it and they will take action on it.
I like to take action where we need to take action.
Take no action on it. So you can simply delete it.
Okay, all in favor?
Taking no action?
Yeah.
Are we deleting, or what's the motion? But then we have a motion to delete.
Motion to delete.
So just go to that.
Delete 9.4. Yes. All in favor?
If we vote, yeah.
Hi, Barbara.
Opposed? So carried. Anything else?
So just goes to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
No?
That was 9.4.
Yeah. That was all
right. Anything else? All right. Hearing nothing.
Mr. Mayor, at this time, based upon the email receipt today, I would ask that we delete 9.1. That'll come back up next month.
Okay.
So second.
There you go. Second. Second, Kev.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
All
right. Opposed?
All right.
Aye.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we're good. Number five, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak, please state your name and what you're going to be speaking on that's on the agenda. Go for it. Anybody?
Good. My name is Emery Acker, and I have made my home in Derby for over 20 years. My wife and I have 5 children, all of whom were born at Griffith Hospital. And my youngest 4 are currently in Derby Public Schools, which have been amazing in meeting their diversity. Until 6 years ago, I was an active member of the Republican Party, and am still in many ways conservative. I am here to share my frustration with the ways in which my city is failing to meet minimum standards of responsibility and accountability. One example of the lack of accountability would be the findings of the independent report regarding our city's finances, which was undertaken when we attempted to fire the last finance director. To learn that there had very rarely been an on-time audit, even when we all know millions of taxpayer dollars have been misaccounted for in the past, was stunning. When our former finance director tried to function in a system completely lacking best financial practices, she was ignored by this administration, which then tried to fire her. What should have been done in a system of real financial accountability, I'm speaking.
Yeah, but what, no, I'm, this is my
there's two things.
But what part of the agenda are you speaking?
Okay, so there's two things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Accountability and responsibility, and specifically regarding finances and the actions of one of our board of aldermen members. And I'd like to finish that talk if I can. So thank you. One thing.
Okay.
I'm a taxpayer. I spent $10,000. I think I deserve the right to speak. Just one page. Thank you. When we voted out one of the people responsible for it, that individual was rehired in a position which included financial responsibility. The problems, not surprisingly, have continued. In what job can someone repeatedly misaccount the millions of dollars and not only continue, but be rewarded with more responsibility for it? More concerning than even this, on January 6th, a minority of people who had gone to see the former president speak tried to interfere with the peaceful transition of power in our free republic. Some did so by force. Some did so by trespass. All were there to interfere with the peaceful transfer of power in a free republic. Make no mistake, Americans have a right to march in public streets, to chant, and to make their voices heard responsibly, like I am tonight. They had no right, however, to assault the Capitol or to trespass in it, and they certainly had no right to try to overturn the results of a free and fair election. One of our BLMA members tried to do just that, and he remains unflinchingly unrepentant of his actions. Again, the theme is a lack of accountability, either personally or professionally. We therefore are not meeting a minimum standard in terms of financial oversight and in terms of personal responsibility. And if nothing else, this sort of consistently irresponsible behavior on the part of our town's elected officials is killing our property values, increasing our taxes, and hurting our community. We must meet minimum basic standards. This is not an unreasonable expectation on the part of taxpayers who care about the our community. At the very least, Mr. DiGiovanni is publicly apologized for taking part of the events that were meant to support democracy, the peaceful transfer of power in our nation's capital that day. He should also refrain from showing up at our polling places as he did on Tuesday as an observer, because that is intimidating to voters, given his very public presence in the Capitol building on January 6th. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just as a point of order for anyone in the public, I believe, and just for the, I did not want to interrupt the gentleman because I did not want to create a moment, but the public portion is meant for members of the public to speak for anything that's on the agenda, okay, not for purposes of making a public, just a public speech. It's for members of the public to come to address the board for anything that's on the agenda. Okay, just so that anyone in the public that is here is noted. So there is process in a public meeting, and that is just what the public portion of this meeting is meant for, just so you know for the future. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public would like to speak on the agenda? Chris, go ahead.
Christine Fonzini, 323 Hawthorne Avenue. There will be, I'm the director of the Senior Center. And as an advocate for the Senior Center, I just want to address the Senior Center Search Committee agenda item. The members of the Senior Center would like to know what the delay is with this committee, which has not met even one time since its inception, which I believe they voted on it in July, and they were put on the subcommittee in August, if I looked at all the notes correctly. There are several members of the subcommittee that have not even been contacted once about the subcommittee or about a meeting. And I also would like to reserve my right to ask questions of the board if needed when that agenda item comes up.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public? Fred, you had to answer it. Name and address, please.
Frederick Dabrowski, 216 Derby Avenue, Derby, Connecticut. I'm going to say a few things that are relatively city business, not on the agenda. I practice my First Amendment right. First of all, Irving School. I voted there. It was rather dangerous to back out. Where is a cop to manage the traffic? It's a busy intersection. Where was the police just to, for public safety? We're asking for a police man to be there 2 days out of the year. So that, with regard to the road bond, why don't we have a capital fund for improvement? Why do we have to borrow? $3 million borrowed, $5.4 million to be repaid at over 20 years at $270,000 per year, 1.8 times payback.
Fred, can you keep it on to the agenda, please?
Yeah. Like I said, my First Amendment, I'm speaking on some city businesses. So if you're going to shut me down, I take that as a personal violation of my First Amendment.
It's just the rules set by this board. It's just...
Well, I feel I should have the right to bring up some other issues.
But we're limited on time, Fred. We're limited on time set by this board, so we only have 2.5 hours to conduct business here. So we're not speaking about everything that's, you know, going on in the world. Unfortunately, we got to stick to the agenda.
Can you submit it to the? And it's, can you submit it in writing to the mayor's office?
You can do that.
That would, if you could send an email to the mayor's office, that would probably be the best approach.
Okay. Well, like I said, be nice if we could speak a little more freely, but so much for a person here in America,
Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Anybody else? Third and last.
Sarah Wadowski, 95 Academy Hill Road. Two quick things, you know, again, I have not seen one department head report, nor has the public. Mr. Mayor, you asked last time to ask questions of you when we see the reports. Well, we still haven't seen any. So where are they? We're looking over. You can look at me and answer a question. We don't have to look at the table.
We addressed it before, right?
But last time you said you were going to send it to us and we were going to be able to ask questions.
Yeah, that's further review with
corporate counsel. So is that going to happen?
Further review with corporate counsel.
I'm sorry?
Further review with corporate counsel. We already did this, so. We discussed this. And
what's the answer, Mr. Mayor? Mr. Mayor, what? Can you answer that, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. I thought that this was addressed back in February. And I think this has been addressed twice.
It's been addressed more. I mean, how many motions are we going to make that are most of the time unanimously approved by this board to receive? What's the problem? Let me ask that. What's the problem? The
motions are out of order.
Yeah.
For 70 years, it was in order. Wow. Was it out of order all of a sudden?
This is what we're dealing with. How, you know, if anybody wants to know what the problem is and why we, you know, have issues, why decisions don't get made, why votes are not easy for us to make.
You shut her down.
This is
you know what, Sarah? I
And then one more thing, Mr. Mayor. I would just like an update on, we made a motion for the, to post the finance director position last month. And I would like to know where it was posted to and when. And when the deadline is for submissions.
Well, did we get that out?
No, this is the same issue. That is an administrative task, which the Corporation Council has repeatedly reviewed, is not in the purview.
It was not told to us last meeting. The motion passed.
Number two,
we got nothing.
Reviewing salary structures throughout the state for the finance director to see if the finance director's salary rate is still appropriate. It appears that it is not. It appears that the current offering according to GFOA and the CCM are much higher, and that the likelihood is that in order to hire a finance director, you're going to have to increase the base salary.
And why would you not the board in those discussions?
We haven't finished reviewing your data to come back to the board with an analysis and a presentation. When we finish that, we will be happy to see.
Well, when Agata was put on leave, it was a 5-alarm fire for this board to meet to approve the hiring of a temporary agency to cover for her absence. She's been gone the better part of a month or two now, and there seems to be no urgency in replacing her. Why was there an urgency at that point to replace her and not since?
The urgency to replace her was with the deputy finance director who we had hired one and she had left the meeting without a note. We came and we asked for permission to hire a temporary deputy finance.
Can't hear whoever's talking.
Job descriptions, food, and so on and so on. There's been posted. The person is the interim apply. She brings up that she's not been on the board. It's not possible. So you have a deputy who is running the department.
But it was an urgent matter to get a finance director, not a deputy. And why don't we have that same sense of urgency now?
No, it was a deputy. We had a finance director. We were now free to hire a finance director unless the finance director's contract was terminated by the board. And the board chose not to do that. While she was on paid, we asked for permission to hire the deputy finance director. We had a vacancy because of the resignation of the person that was hired. And so that's what we asked for, and you gave it to us, and we brought her in. And she worked as an interim until we could get the job description through the union, and go through all the process that we had to go through. And once that was clear, she retired as the deputy. So the finance office right now is staffed by a deputy finance director, which didn't have before, acting instead of the finance director, plus an accounts payable assistant finance director and a payroll assistant finance director. So in effect, you are at the same FTE count that you had when you had the finance director here.
So while we're on the topic of the finance department, do we ever have a final number on how much that investigation cost and who paid for it?
I do not.
I mean, it's been asked several times since the summer.
It's Barbara. It's Barbara, Rob. I believe it was $14,000.
Yeah, they can forward it that information.
What account did that come out of? $14,000 taxpayer dollars for an investigation. And who paid, like, what account did that come out of?
Corporate Counsel Service.
I don't even know if it says I've gotten paid yet.
We don't know what department, like actually what number came out of.
It's almost been a half hour. We haven't even gotten to the
agenda.
I just want to bring up that the clock is ticking and give it the proper time that we got here. That's all.
Plus, honestly, all these questions. Mm-hmm. Could have been sent to the administration and asked for answers so that you could have this before my meeting.
They've been asked several times, but we haven't gotten answers.
I ask every month at the board. Every month, same question.
But we don't
know. The questions you ask, Sarah, are ones that have been ruled on or that continually, and you keep bringing them up. So, you know. I think there's a little adage about that, asking the
First Amendment,
expecting a different answer.
All right. So, any other questions from the public? Comments? Any other comments from the public? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion. Committee activity, Senior Center Search Committee report. We have no report.
You appointed the committee,
Brian.
You can call a meeting, I think. Right?
No, Brian was in charge of this. He was so gung ho about it.
I thought committees were appointed and then the committee chooses their chairman.
Brian was gung ho about it, and that's.
I think the mayor understood it. Call the meeting anytime.
You already knew my stance on where we wanted to go, so.
But we have to move forward.
But unfortunately, Brian's not here to say what he's going to do. So
I spoke with Brian before I left for vacation in August, and I spoke with him about it, and I said if you wanted a call a meeting for the August
why is Brian
I'm just explaining to you the conversation I had.
Sorry.
He was under the assumption that we disbanded the subcommittees, and I stated to him that you might want to check on that because we only, as far as I understood it, only the three subcommittees were disbanded. He didn't know that at the time. So then he sent the letter to the board for that August meeting.
That they didn't meet, correct?
That we didn't meet because he was under the assumption that they disbanded it.
Right.
So,
I understand that. But the next month, your department head is requesting a meeting.
Oh no, absolutely. And I'm still waiting to see what Brian wants to do, but Brian's been MIA, so I don't even know where he is.
Report to you.
No, I got that, but I would like to see what Brian has to say about this, but he's MIA.
Okay, but
Brian was gung-ho about this whole thing. My whole thing is I want to go to Ansonia. Right, but my whole thing, let's do the Ansonia thing, but he wanted to find a couple places in Derby that he thought were great for it, so, but we still haven't heard from him, and nobody knows where he is.
There are other committee members also.
Well, how come they didn't get him? I've been waiting to hear. Could somebody tell me where he is? I don't know where he is. He hasn't made contact with me. So, all right. So next, nothing on that.
My understanding is that Ryan was the chairman of the committee and he has not called the meeting. And my secretary for saying that the seniors that are members of the committee that were chosen to be part of the committee, none of them have been contacted. Right. From and the they minutes. Wanted to know from the chairman of the committee, who my understanding is Brian. So
who voted him as chair?
Well, with respect, it was a special committee. Which he was appointed to. Yes.
And when he accepted the chairman's responsibility.
Yes.
Okay. But you're contradicting what we're saying. So that's okay. We're going to drop it. We're going to agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
You created the committee. You call the meeting.
And we appoint. Put
forward, and your department head is waiting for a meeting.
Me too. I would love to see Brian start up a committee. Well, he was appointed. Well, I don't want to overstep Brian because he had these great ideas. So hopefully he has a magical place that he's going to build a senior center, but he hasn't come up with anything and nobody knows where he is. There
are other qualified members on that.
Well, where's Brian? How come he doesn't want to come back here and tell us what's going on?
I don't know.
We appointed him and he was all gung-ho about it. So until... Okay, all right, maybe I'll try him again. Maybe we'll answer his phone. Absolutely. Thank you.
There's nothing that basically I have to bring back to the seniors.
About
ask your mayors.
Meet
your books.
Like I told him again today and I told him the other kids too. There's unfortunately, they don't want to do anything. So, Paydenfield, the Payden Fee Committee report. No report. No meeting.
Who's the committee on that?
Gino, Rob, and Sarah.
What about the others that were asked from Parks and Rec? Was it Mr. Pittman asked to be on it?
During the last Board of Aldermen meeting, you guys said you wanted to get
just hearing for
him. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, you said you were still going to get Parks and Rec people on.
Well, we could have a meeting and then have anybody we want to come, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Obviously. Or yeah, anybody can come, of course, but we're talking about members of the committee that are voting members. Is it just the three of us? I mean, that it wasn't on the agenda last month. We had it added to the agenda, and right. Nobody was officially made aware that we're on any committees other than.
On the audio, it said that you guys wanted on it. According to the audio, it was Gino, Rob, and Sarah.
We're still going to add Parks and Rec members.
I wish I had the minutes here. I can even go over it, but the audio said that you three are it. So, all right. So,
all right. Let's let us know if there's any Parks and Rec members.
No, there isn't. I'm looking. Yeah.
Are you going to call that meeting? Because there's no chair for that. I mean, are you going to call that meeting to order? There's no chair. Well, we can blow the chair. Right, but who's right. But who's going to call the meeting to order? There's no chair.
Sarah is the president of Florida Baltimore.
I can't even call a Board of Aldermen meeting. Okay.
No. I'm saying you could call the meeting for us three to meet, and then we can vote on a chair, right?
Are you on the committee, Mr. Mayor? Are you putting?
Yeah.
The three of you said that you guys wanted to do it. So if you wanted to bring Parks and Rec on it,
Right.
According to you.
Almost positive.
From what the audio item.
Parks
and Rec.
Yeah. If you need an odd number.
Three.
Is it one?
Three is an odd number.
Right. Well, not, no, yeah, exactly.
When do you start with your point?
There should be a Parks and Rec over on it, though.
Take a chair and go from there.
Yeah. I know it's but like it, but it should be. Yeah. All right. I'll leave it.
Take a chair.
All right.
You go from there.
Anything else? Okay. Special orders, none. Presentation. We have a presentation today, 8.1 for Sullivan Island Pier. We have Karen from NVCOG. Ron, are you on this too or no? You're on the next one. Okay. All right. Sorry, Karen. Go ahead.
An update on Sullivan Island Fishing Pier project. NVCOG has been involved in the planning of the project of the city, and it's been in the planning stage for a number of years, but I'm happy to report it's finally ready to go to construction.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, believe me.
So I just want to give you an update as to where things are at currently. Next slide, please. With me tonight, there are two other gentlemen from the COG. Well, I should tell you, I'm the transportation engineer for NVCOG, Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments. And we also have Ricardo Rodriguez, who's the Brownfields Program Manager, and Mike Springle, who's the Finance Director. And hopefully, if there are any questions, they'll be able to help me out with answering them. Just a little bit of history. In 2018, NVCOG applied for a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Grant and was awarded that grant for $325,000, again, on behalf of the city. In 2019, HRP Associates were hired to design the project. And in 2019 and 2021, public information sessions were held to, you know, provide the all the information about the design to the public. And as things went along, the estimate for the project was to a point where that the money left out of the grant after HRP was hired wasn't going to be enough to fund the construction. So NVCOG also contacted DEEP, and they've agreed to provide some additional funding through a federal sport fishing restoration program. And that's federal money, so there's 25% match. So the 25% match is going to be made using DECD Brownfields Assessment Funds. Next slide, please. So this is just a quick overview for anyone who hasn't seen the project already. Again, it's on Consultant Island and corner of that's existing parking lot. It's going to be a 2-minute walkway down to the pier. The pier is going to come out into the water by about 30 feet. It's going to be 80 feet long and about 16 feet wide.
Excuse me, one second. I did. Sir,
there are going to be some benches along the side. It's going to be founded on timber pilings that are going to be driven down through the water to the ground below the river. It's going to be an ATA accessible pier. That would be nice for everyone to be able to use it. Next slide. Okay, so the project was advertised to bid, and that went out on October 27th. There was a pre-bid meeting held yesterday. The bid opening is scheduled at Derby City Hall for this coming Thursday, the 17th at 12 noon. Hopefully soon after that, there will be a recommendation to the city for a contract award, and the construction is expected to be completed by July 1st. Next slide, please.
Was the pre-bid meeting mandatory?
No, it was not.
We don't have contractors for that?
There was one contractor at the meeting, and then I had two other contractors contact me for information and to let me know if they were interested in bidding. And these are just some questions. I think these were presented during one of the public meetings, but it might be nice to run through it. Next slide, please. Who can use the fishing pier? The pier is going to be owned by the city and open to everyone. Obviously, you may only fish if you have a fishing license, and it's going to be ADA compliant. Can the pier be used for other non-fishing recreation? And the answer to that is no. The pier is for fishing and viewing only. Swimming and other recreation is not permitted. Parking, as I mentioned, there's an existing parking area that has about 10 spots, so that's going to lead right to the pier. The
the walkway is going to connect to the parking lot and then go around up to the pier. What fish can I catch there? Are there catch limits or size requirements? So all of that is going to be posted. There's going to be a signboard, as you typically see, with all that fishing information. Next slide. Environmental protection. So there has been a lot of environmental review on this project, Derby Inland Wetlands, DEEP, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Army Corps, and National Marine Fisheries Service. Are there environmental protections? So the permits require that there is no in-water work to take place between April and June. And the in-water work is when they're going to be driving the piles because they're going to be disturbing the water. Once they get the piles in and the platform started, they can work on the platform because they won't be messing around in the water. And a turbidity curtain will be used for in-water work to avoid disturbing the wildlife. And the City of Derby will be the owners and will have to maintain the pier once it's constructed. Any other questions? No, it's going to be made out of lumber. Pressure treated, yeah.
Did you say the walkway is going to be made out of
bituminous concrete? Asphalt pavement.
Okay, so something solid.
Yes.
Excited.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Excellent idea, moving this forward. And I see a lot of people, I use the walkway a lot, so I see a lot of people that are actually fishing over there in the little areas.
Right, yeah. I've heard it's a really great place to fish, so.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
Is there an annual cost of maintenance? That is an expected cost of maintenance?
You know, we didn't.
We
didn't look into that, but I can.
Thanks. Before we let it get out of maintenance, is there a recommended maintenance program?
I'll look into it. I'm not sure. I would imagine that if
cities are
it
best
should
known
be fine for a number of years before it needs any maintenance is my guess, but I'll make sure on that.
Yeah, no, cities are best known for letting things not.
I understand. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think then they plow the walkway down there, so the public works is down there pretty often.
And they came to planning and zoning with the prints and stuff. I believe there was a maintenance kind of schedule, but it was I don't want to say maintenance free, but it was a 20-year lead time.
Can you have this presentation emailed to the board since some members are calling in? I just want to make sure that everybody sees this.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay. 8.2, we have a presentation, parking garage renovations update.
Okay, so let me just give you a little background of how this all started when it's for the parking garage.
Carm, will you come closer to the, thank you.
When we took over the parking garage, our biggest concern was the potholes. They're getting worse, getting deep. The rebar is coming through, rebar is rusted. I brought the community relations committee there. Mr. Sill and Mr. DiGiovanni came. They saw the holes, they saw the potholes, the rebar. And unfortunately, about five weeks ago, we had one of the potholes gave through to the lower level. So there was a hole that went straight through. So we put cones up real quick. We got a steel plate, a four by eight steel plate put over the hole, and it was tarred around it so it wouldn't move. And right now that's a real bad spot. And the other unfortunate part is yesterday, a senior going to the senior center, yes, tripped and fell and scrape their face. so that's that. But currently, the garage has approximately 300 spaces on all four floors, representing more than 60% of all available parking within a two-block area. 90 spaces are on the top floor that are unusable. There's no parking lines. There's no roof. It's not good up there. So for the winter, we have chained it off in because of the snow and the ice. 70% utilization of available space is based on contractual arrangements with businesses and residential buildings. So that means, let's just take Derby Manor, for instance, and other places that rent spaces from us. We use 70% of all our available spaces through contracts. Additional spaces used by businesses that provide vouchered parking for their customers. Current revenue generation is approximately $80,000 a year. Significant structural degradation of concrete and steel from lack of maintenance, usage, and exposure to the elements is occurring. The cost of a demolition and a replacement for the garage is probably around $29 million. As a result, we called Frank Capasso and Sons, widely recognized expert in the garage construction statewide, and I'm sure he's going to tell you what they have done in the local area, was brought in to do a thorough investigation regarding renovating the structure. Now, we all know how important the garage is to downtown. I mean, we have businessmen here that use it, their customers use it. If you take the garage away, you're not going to have enough parking for the businesses and the customers. With our Main Street going to get built up, we're going to need all the parking that we could possibly have. That's up to a developer. Oh, you mean the state? They're putting the small parking lot over here to the right. Yes. I don't even know if it's that many. You know, it may be about 30. It's 30, right? Yeah. So, yes, they're putting that there. But, unfortunately, the poor woman fell, scraped her whole face up. And we have to decide to do something. Thank you.
Entire senior center.
Plus, entire senior center, City Hall Park's there. Yeah. Business woman, Anita, she knows the customers park there. Yeah, she pays.
My staff.
That's right.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you recommending to do a study on how much it's going to cost?
It's already done.
It is already
done. Yeah.
And so, because you mentioned Capasso.
Yes. He'll give an update. He's going to give a presentation.
Did they do the original one with all the pictures? We have a study already. We've done it. When you closed the garage, when I was mayor, we've done that study.
Correct.
Yes.
And what did you do with that stuff?
Well, it just needs to be updated.
Okay. That's what we're
doing. Okay. So I can make a motion to close it.
Go ahead.
Close
what?
The parking lot.
You only hurt yourself. Are you going to close it? Okay. You're a businesswoman. Downtown across the street from the parking garage, and you want to close the parking garage?
All right. How about the presentation?
Yeah. Can we... We were, as I'm going to get with those consulting engineers, we were asked by the city to see if we can find the best contractor, take a look at the garage, and give their assessment of the garage. We have Wesley chose Capasso, and we have Anthony here, Anthony Capasso, to give a short background of his firm and their recommendation. Then I'll quickly go over the findings of what we found at the garage.
Hi everyone, my name is Anthony Capasso. I'm one of the owners of Frank Capasso and Son. The business was started by my dad back in 75. And my brother and I have been working with them and taking it over. And we've been probably for the last 20 years slowly getting more and more into structural restoration, parking garages specifically. right now at the moment is probably over half the volume of the work that we do. And this garage here in particular is a very familiar structure to us that we are currently working on several at the moment where we're doing full slab replacements, which we recommended to CARM and everyone in terms of the severity of what's going on. Some areas are salvageable, some areas just need to be replaced. Some of the points I brought out in looking at the garage are the structural elements where the facade is fastened to the slab, which shows some stress and deterioration at risk of a panel if enough friction or movement to get dislodged and come down, as we just talked about a car going through. And here are some of the photos that we took. That one in particular, if you look further in, where you see all the spider cracking, which in time with water, moisture, salts, and any other contaminants will get to the rebar and force the concrete up. And once you lose that structural element of the rebar and the concrete together, it's a potential hazard for the punch through again. So on the roof, probably one of the best parts of the garage, it's intact. There's a bitumen product that you can see that I was mentioning to Walt and the team should come up because that's holding water. And in keeping it waterproof, the concept is correct. The product is wrong. Removing it and put a new waterproof membrane will prevent almost a roof on the structure. That would prevent water coming down at the other levels, almost like a roof on a building. There was, I believe, four bays that we identified as full replacement. And then there was the balance of the bays where would be a partial depth repair where you're not removing all the concrete, you're just getting to the rebar, prevent any further corrosion and a repair mortar. One of the other photos that you see up above is the structural steel. The structural steel is in really good condition, just needs a thorough in cleaning and painting. And that'll prevent any other further rusting and deterioration of the steel. Other than that, it's not a complicated project. It's the big one. Getting to it logistically, cycling it. And we added some other elements for beautification. For instance, the facade, cleaning it, coating it, or just cleaning it, just to give it some type of attraction when you're going downtown where it's appealing. You know, what I was going to suggest is Derby's colors are red. Paint all the structural red. A red band around the perimeter. Accent lighting the red. It'll attract people to come in and want to park there. Either lighting and just belts and suspenders, so to speak. That's another example. Well, again, a post picture of a photo we looked at before.
Okay.
I have a thank question you, about the material that you're going to use as a roofing. What material would you use?
So that's a traffic bearing coating. You drive on it. It's
asphalt.
Sorry?
Is it asphalt?
No. That's the last thing you want to use.
Right.
This is a urethane and epoxy.
Thank you. I'd like to give you a quick, we with the CASA team went to the garage and did a thorough inspection and investigation of the entire structure. And with, as you also classified it as areas that need full depth concrete deck replacement. There were so many areas such as this that once you patch here, you may be able to replace the whole deck. So there were three bays that required that. Five bays were kind of in between where just full depth patching would take care of it. And other three bays, primarily on the roof, needed just limited deck repair. Next slide, please. I'd like to quickly go over the entire structure. We found this is going from the bottom, from the basement of the first floor. That one was in fairly good condition. It will need some patching and certainly cleaning and further inspection, but it is in the best condition. Next floor. This is the entrance. This is the entrance is from the left here.
Elizabeth is up on top, just to kind of orient yourself. The entry bay is probably in the best, in the worst condition. Will have to be replaced in its entirety. Same with the one right next to it. And next floor. Here, one of the bays will need to be totally replaced. The one denoted as 3G and F will be partial patching where you need to. And then on the roof, when in the middle orange territory where some work will be needed, and but mostly the treatment that Anthony alluded to, just to make it back in operation again. Next slide. To kind of summarize the work that's needed here, the deck will need to be the first priority, obviously. This one bears the most wear and tear. The steel members will need to be sandblasted and painted. And again, the option is the city. You want to make the paint some kind of a statement to look at more, make it look more appealing. That's obviously the opportunity. The fascia panels that Anthony also mentioned, first and foremost, need to be secured safely to the building structure itself. Some of those clamps look a little scary. I think they need to be replaced, and they will be. Now, in addition to this, both deck and steel repair, lighting needs to be improved. It is an opportunity to update it obviously breakthroughs in lighting, having LED lights, the way to go. The video surveillance has to be upgraded, and the elevator will also be inspected and as needed, upgraded to code. This will be supplemented also for work on the roof, which Roger will touch on.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Roger Solway. Recently joined. I'm here, well, 3 weeks ago. So don't assume I know very much at this point. I'm an electrical.
So we're putting you to work right away.
That's fine. So I saw this building about 10 days ago. So, you know, I don't have a lot of background. I came from North Brantford. And one of the relevant things is that we actually installed a solar system, which has just gone live. And it's saving the town, in terms of the town's properties, $10,000 a month. So when we were talking about this project together with Anthony and with Ron, we said there may be some reasons to consider putting a roof on this. One, to increase the number of parking spaces and therefore the revenue. But if you're going to put a roof on it, why not consider putting a solar panel on that roof and generating a reasonable amount of revenue to the city from that. So this is just a thing. We haven't really got a lot of detail yet in terms of the structure needed to take that extra weight and the size of the solar panels. We have been talking to a solar company. We've got some feeling about the size it would generate for a roof, which is about 50,000 square feet. It would generate about 500 kilowatts of power. That would be sold to United Illuminating. Okay, and the increase in revenue from additional parking is of the order of $45,000 a year. That's assuming about 80% utilization of the top floor all year. Okay, and the annual saving for the solar is in the range of $65,000 to $100,000 a year. Again, it's a function of the weather and the direction of the solar panel. So that's just a kind of another consideration for this project. It could help pay back the cost of the project. So the panels, solar energy system will be attached to the roof structure, cover the entire roof, generate about 500 kilowatts with the savings in that range. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question for Kermit. Are there LED lights in that parking garage already?
There are some.
It was part of the top floor, I see.
Yes.
They're all LEDs.
Right.
But not all.
Okay.
Any other questions?
If I could. So based upon your expertise in this area, do we have a
all, and I'm not going to hold you to any numbers, and I appreciate the solar thing because I think that's a home run. Do we have any estimated costs? That's question one. And question number two, based upon your answer, is it feasible, in your opinion, to maybe do a section at a time as we come up with these components?
Yes, I'll start with the second question. Yes, we have been looking at how best to stage the construction because typically cities don't have the whole amount of funding available right away. So we're definitely looking at how to stage, obviously starting with the worst bay, which is the entrance bay, because that's where the big hole is also, and it's the one most used. As far as the total cost, I'm like,
right now we're working with estimates between $6 and $6.8 million with full contingencies. We haven't finalized the numbers as far as the lifts go, and we haven't finalized the staging of the project and how that could intervene. We're looking at potentially recommending some ARPA dollars to use. We're looking at the grant writer that we just brought on to put in a CIF grant request. The problem becomes with that is timing. She estimates the grants close in December, and she estimates a 6-month turnaround time. So we have to kind of work with the PASOs to find out, you know, where are they in their scheduling. And so we've got a few more meetings scheduled. We hope to come back to the board with more finite numbers, process, and all of that kind of stuff for your December meeting. And then hopefully we'll have everything, you know, in line at that point where a decision can be made upon how we would then proceed.
If I could, Sharon.
Yes.
One last, just not even a question, but as the staging goes on, the areas that you want to do, if we could just keep in mind that the tenants that have a contract to be in there, like Ms. Dugato, so that they could be appropriately placed where work is not going on and still have parking downtown. But I'm 110% behind. We need parking. We're going to bring this city back to life and the downtown back to life. Not only do we need parking here and what the state's doing, but it's my hope that a developer who does across the street does a whole nother parking garage. So I appreciate it.
The structural steel is incredible in that building. I have never seen steel like that.
That's because it's built back when they made steel.
Yeah, it's actually better than steel.
Not today.
And,
10 years ago.
Back to the original point, to reconstruct something, you can do it, but you're not going to reconstruct what you have there. You know, Mother Nature took its toll on the concrete as it does all concrete. And if it's not maintained, that's the result. And with the technology mixture of the concrete today, as opposed to what you have there now, this will last 20 years longer. The technology has come that far with the mixed designs in particular.
Just to go back to the question posed to the peer people at the end of this project, if we could have maintenance schedule and cost associated. I've said it over and over, we are the worst at maintaining any property the city owns. So,
and Capasso has already started with certain recommendations along those.
Excellent.
So that should be no issue at all. The other thing that was brought up in our discussions with the engineers. Capasso's was the need to make sure that we continue to provide access to the garage. So they are looking at doing a staging so that no ramp is completely discontinued. There may be, I think right now we're looking at what possibly a week where the garage might have to be shut down.
Well, forgive me, but as I came here this evening, I just saw about another entrance, and I mentioned this to Karn, where you may not have to fully.
Okay. So right, that would be even better. So we're considering all those contingencies, and one of the things was that if any people who are using the garage currently are displaced for any reason for any length of time, then what would be done is the metered parking that's within like a 2-block radius would be available to them with their sticker on or their hanger so that they could park there without any problems. And but again, it would be at this point from what we were looking at, it would be a very, very short duration.
I think you mentioned that it's a very straightforward project. I would say that the challenging aspect of it is actually the staging and making sure that there's minimum disruption to the user.
Prior to any of the projects, we would submit a phasing sequencing in terms of what goes first, second, third, go on. And then that goes along with schedule. And every phase will get that approach. All the projects we're working on, they're always occupied. We never have the luxury of shutting it down. It's impossible. So we're fully aware of the sensitivity of not shutting the garage down and keeping it pedestrian vehicle safe. So that would be the first approach. And before construction starts, you don't want to approve that. If that wasn't something that would work, we just keep on developing a phasing plan that would be beneficial.
Well, we look forward to seeing more information. Thank you.
Mr. President, I just want to say thank you to the people that worked on to get the presentation to come to us today. I'm glad to see that the steel is in good shape and that, in my professional opinion, it's not as bad as what a lot of people would think. So I'm glad to see that we're starting and we're getting it to move forward. But with the steel skeleton being in great shape, that's three quarters of the battle. And I'd like to see where we go from here. But this is something that we need to have on the shelf. So when money starts to come available, we go to the shelf and start picking the projects that we have money available for, or if there's funding. So I think we're moving in the right step, and I'm glad to see it. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate that.
Well, as it's done in phase, would it be feasible to do the roof first, solar panels at that time?
Well, my approach would be imminent danger areas first.
So if the slabs are full replacement. I'm just saying the rain coming in, the snow, everything comes from the top. But and we could make money on the solar panels right from the beginning.
Well, the roof concrete is oddly enough in the best shape.
Yeah.
It's as I walked in, I thought the roof was going to show a lot of deteriorations.
They don't use the salt, that's why it's so good.
Okay.
The rubber that was down there protected it from all the salt we used.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys did a nice job.
Sounds good.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm going to go ahead, Barb. I have a question. I have a question for Carmen.
Go ahead, Barb.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Carm, who the area that you covered with the steel plate where you put the cones up, who put that plate on there?
Frank Pepe.
All right. Did these gentlemen see that? Is it secure enough?
Yes, they did. Mr. Capasso saw, okay. and Ron DeGon, the engineer, saw.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
And if that presentation can be forwarded to the board, and just a request going forward that if any presentations can be sent to the full board before the meeting, so those who are attending via Zoom or by telephone can have that in advance. That would be appreciated. Thank you. Thank you again, gentlemen.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. Number nine. Okay, we're skipping over 9.1 onto 9.2, ordinance. Section 125, replacement, landlords and tenants, discussion, possible action.
I will make a motion that we appeal and replace ordinance section 125.
One second.
So purpose of discussion, the side-by-side, it's a complete repeal. And a complete replace. And the proposed ordinance requires the landlord to file with the tax assessor so that the tax assessor can compare the landlord's name against the property ownership information of record, because the tax assessor has all the property ownership information in her office. The tax assessor can forward the information to the fire marshal. The reasoning for changing from the building official to the fire marshal is because the building official does not have the independent statutory right to inspect. The fire marshal does if it's a three family unit. So we're changing it from a two family to a three family because that's the fire marshal's jurisdiction. So for a building official to inspect, there would have to be a written complaint. The building official then would have to go to the property and would have to be granted permission to enter. If that permission was not granted, the building official would then would have to go and get a judicial warrant, meaning he would have to go to court to enter the property. Unless he found a basis that, under the building code, which under this circumstance would not exist. So a fire marshal under 29-305 subsection B has a statutory obligation to inspect three family units annually. So it makes sense to change the ordinance to three families. So you capture all three families and larger units. So something like Crescent Street would be inspected annually. Again, you would go to your tax assessor. Your tax assessor would refer to your fire marshal. Your fire marshal would inspect, and there would be process. And that is the reasoning for the change. It is a complete repeal and a complete replacement.
It's Barbara. Can you tell me? I didn't hear who made it. And was there a second? And I didn't hear who made the motion and who seconded it.
I seconded it, Barb.
Barb is Charlie.
Gino DiGiovanni.
The phone was at the other end.
Oh, okay.
I didn't speak up, okay, but I made the motion.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so, I mean, so it's a complete repeal replace, because I was waiting for the red line, and you were going to be sending us information.
Right, there is no red line because it's a complete repeal. So it's, in other words, everything in the new ordinance is new.
Change is just basically who's going to.
It's
enforce
fire marshal for three. Okay.
Right, it's right. The everything in the new ordinance is new.
Fire marshal has the duty.
Everything, so the old ordinance is being stricken in its entirety, and the new ordinance is being replaced every word is new. So it's not like, so there's not a comparison of this word was stricken and you're looking at what, so.
And okay, so okay, yeah, I wasn't expecting, if it was.
Like, that's why.
We had, or here's. Everything we took out as well.
Right. So that's why there's not a side by side, because it's a strike in its entirety.
But there are some things from the old and the new.
It's a strike in its entirety.
Yeah.
And it's a whole new ordinance. Okay. So right. So it's a red line would be, I would give you a red line if I had in this sentence there was a right. word that was just. So that's why I didn't give you a red line, because I'm saying we're taking this entire thing out and we're putting this whole new thing in. And because there's a
it's Barbara. Oh, I'm
statutory obligation of the fire marshal. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah, I'm just going to make the comment I made last month. I don't think you're going to get people to identify and to give you that information. And no owner of a property is going to know that this ordinance exists, and they need to go and give information of who their tenants are. I just don't think it's going to be enforceable, but that parts of it.
Okay,
and the way
too.
I understand a red line is when we have an ordinance that at least you would see it, and whether it deleted the whole thing or at least it would be in one document where you would see what is current and what is proposed, whether it took the whole thing out or it took two lines out. But that's right. my opinion.
That's correct. That's correct. But that would be the problem you'd have today. But the benefit that you have is that your fire marshal has the statutory right of entry. Your building official does not.
And I would agree, Barb, Charlie, I would agree 100% that people don't know, but the onus is not upon us. It's upon them to know. The same way that people don't know that they can't put a pretty colored thing around their license plate. That's a Connecticut state statute. I can write you a ticket for it, but everybody says, I didn't know that, but you're supposed to know. You're supposed to know what the law is.
So the building department collects all the fees and gives it to the finance director.
The building.
That's what's different.
What's.
For the fees, are we on the fees? This is different.
This is different. This is just landlord tenant.
All right. So I have a question about that, because that you have to report to the assessor between January 1st and January 31st, right? Is that what you're looking at? I just want to make sure I'm on the right page.
Which one are you on?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, you're on 9.2.
You're on 9.2.
Yeah. So 25-5, tenant has to once a year for a month, have to let the tax assessor know who's living there, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, if you go 25.6, it says any owner or lessor who does not let the gets a CO for each new person coming in, you have to turn over your month's rent or something. What's C? C is confusing. 125.
Where are you?
Well, I'm trying to figure out where everybody else is. I'm reading this.
You're talking about the.
The top of the page, it says 125-5 tenant identification. I'm on that page. It says 9.2.C.
So any owner or lessor who recovers rent for the occupancy of any apartment or dwelling unit for which a CO has not been obtained prior to the rental thereof in violation of A shall be liable for a civil penalty in the amount that is the greater of $1,500 or the amount of the rent that is recovered.
So the landlord's getting rent and they have to turn over the rent.
But
what it sounds like.
No.
I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm reading.
Yeah, what you're reading is that is the penalty provision. So if they violate this ordinance and they're caught, their exposure is the greater of $1,500 or the amount of the rent that they received. That's their exposure. That's their exposure. So don't violate the ordinance is the lesson learned.
And it says a form must be submitted to the assessor. Where's the form? Because I looked online, I don't see any form.
That's what you're approving tonight.
Well, where's the form? I want to see what the form is.
It's in your package.
Where's the form?
Right here.
9.2C.
All right, let me just look.
The last page.
By saying so, the knowledge of presence and overstroke of purpose, how to install for my safety. So every time you rent your apartment, you have to provide one of these.
Three family or better.
Or if it's a three family or more.
Good. All right. So this will be where? On the website?
It'll be part of your ordinances on your city code.
But I mean, a new person coming in, are they going to get it in a packet? Welcome to Derby, and this is what you need to do, because
it'll be part of your city code.
Yeah.
So it'll be if it's updated, it'll be part of your city code. It should be in your assessor's office. You know, we could advertise it. Yeah, there are things that we could do.
I think that should be in the motion.
The landlord, when you go and sign your lease for X amount of time, shouldn't the landlord get to see when your lease?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. How is this going to be given to the public?
It'll be you can advertise it in the Valley Independent to say.
And if you don't do it, then
it's going to be on our ordinance.
The landlord can't collect the rent. You've got to give it to the city. Let me ask you something. Civil penalty.
How did you learn what the criminal statutes were in the state of Connecticut? There's over 250 of them.
I try not to break the law, so I don't have to.
But you
have
to break the law.
It's your people have to.
But there has always been an ordinance on the line to get a CO every time you redo, but nobody does it. So nobody knows you have to. So I want to know, from now on, we pass this, we want a big campaign to let people know things have changed if it's going to be in effect, because they're going to break the law. They don't even know there's a law, is what I'm saying.
It happens all the time.
Well,
but it's not my fault. When
yeah.
When the taxes are due, it specifically says on the bill. Just if you didn't get the bill, it doesn't mean you don't owe it.
Okay.
So that's part of the statute, and it's part of however we mail it, right? So in this case, it might make sense if I don't know if it's a rush to pass it tonight, but it might make sense to have one thing in addition to this, and that would be it wouldn't cost a lot to notify all the existing owners of the building that's complied this one time, the first time going over. And then you could include in the ordinance a requirement of wherever, whatever the assessor or the town clerk's office say, when they sell the house, that we notify the new.
Right. There should be a process.
So that you bring it to compliance.
You can pass it tonight. You can make it effective at a date. Let's, for the sake of this conversation, pass it tonight, make it effective, let's say January 1st, what we can do is we can include a copy of it with the tax bills.
That'd be a great idea.
Right? So, we can make a copy of it and with the tax bills. For all owners of three family homes, right?
Yeah, because that's excessive. You get the whole month's rent if you're off. That's excessive for somebody invested in Derby.
And if we provided them a copy of it, then we don't feel bad.
That's right. You need to let them know.
It's not the apartment person. It's not.
No, we're providing the property owner.
I'm sorry.
No, we're providing a copy to the property
owner.
Okay, so yes,
I think there's some.
We need to get a gavel.
Ideas are
yes
good. So, and I would like to see some of these things added in. So I will make a motion to postpone to the next meeting with some of these additions to this.
Just the notifications and where they're going to be notified.
That's a process. That's an administrative process. That has nothing to do with the ordinance.
But what if we change that process?
But we are recommending to administration to please.
Right. What if you change the process, though?
But just make sure that the
ordinance. Yeah. We want to add it to the motion
to develop an administrative process to notify the
owner.
Homeowners.
Right.
Not the public, to notify the homeowners.
But that can't
and come back to us for what their process is. How about that?
It's in our motion.
Right. You make it part of your resolution. So you adopt it. You approve the motion effective on a certain date, with an effective date, and that notices to go out to the homeowners with the tax.
So let's do things. The effective date should be July 1st because the tax bill or August 1st because the tax bills will go out at the end of June. You know, for payment July. I think it would be wise though to that's an administrative. But the other part of it is to require when those houses turn over, it doesn't cost us anything to, we can send it back with the deed. But to say that this built that, you know, but I think that should be required because.
But you're not going to know you Mark, you don't know in a deed if it's a two family or a single family. You can't tell that. Unfortunately, you cannot.
I don't want to say to put it on the assessor, but they're the ones that get the.
But then
they have to make the changes on the property card, so they would know when it has to be.
Yeah, but we don't want to put the liability on the city.
To notify?
Yeah, why do we want to accept that liability?
Fair enough, but I'm talking about in terms of trying to bring people into compliance.
And, right.
The first time, like when this is passed. Now this, I don't say August is good because you have to notify if this passes January 1st or January 31st, which is coming up. So there has to be something out for that.
No, but the tax bills
don't cost you a lot.
But there should be another vehicle to notify if this passes.
But not if you make it.
Not if you make it effective to July. The ordinance is
that's not going to be in the ordinance. So that's just
it's a process.
Administration.
We don't tell you.
We
make legislation.
We have to vote on a motion.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what we're working on right now. Yeah.
Or the whole one.
I mean, I am not opposed to fining people for not following the law. I am not opposed to that.
If you got
to
take it out that far, then why don't we just postpone it and come back with a resolution? Right. I mean, if you're gonna make the effective date that far, you might as well come back. You know.
Yeah, but let's not kick the can down the road. And then here comes July, and it's still not.
But again, I get it. But I mean. But at this point, July, it's not going to go into effect until July 1.
I agree. And so if we're not aiming for January 1st.
So I'll write a resolution for you all, and then you can tweak your
I just don't understand how the ordinance is going to change.
The ordinance is not going to change. So
why can't we approve the order?
Because they want in the resolution that the administration is to publish it on the website and to send it out to the homeowners.
That's not the job of this board.
You're in your resolution. You want to. This board wants to specifically state what to do.
Don't say this board. On this board.
This board speaks for one voice.
This board doesn't. This isn't a hard task. Task aren't they? And tell them they need to. And let them figure out.
I understand, but at the end of the day, this board speaks for one voice. You might disagree. Members of this board may disagree.
It is this board wants.
We
I don't
are
want.
One. This board wants.
This, you may disagree with members of this board may disagree, but this board speaks with one voice.
Sure.
Excellent. At the end of the day, that's great when the vote is taken.
But I understand. Members of this board may disagree, but this board speaks with one voice.
There was a motion to postpone. Is there a second?
Well, we have a motion on the floor. I second that. I didn't think.
Oh, what happened? Hello? Hello?
I hear you, Barb, on Zoom, but yeah. I don't hear anybody either.
Are you, Karen? Yeah, I don't know. Hello? Are you guys still there?
Oh, no discussion, Barb. We're moving on. That's it. I'm only joking. I know you can't see.
It was like nothing. There was silence. So I didn't. No, I think I lost it for
one silent. Mark, are you mute?
We're just waiting on a motion. Yes. You just got to vote on the motion for some.
All in favor.
I didn't even hear the motion. I did not hear the motion. That's what I'm telling you.
It's a motion to postpone.
What are you voting on?
Motion to postpone. Motion to postpone, Barbara.
Yes.
Barbara, can you hear that?
I just heard Sarah say what was the vote, and I just heard Vin that it's a motion to postpone. Is that the motion on the table?
Yes, there's a motion to postpone made by Sarah, seconded by Anita.
Okay. All right. Is there a discussion on it, or we already had it? There's no discussion on a motion. There's no discussion on it. Okay. So I vote yes to postpone.
All right. Oh, thank you.
Let's call the vote, please.
Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Okay.
So just for the record, 7 in favor and 1 opposed. Mr. Sanchez, just 1 voice. Not the board, just 1.
9.3, repeal or replace of Chapter 64, building construction, replacement, destruction, possible action. So this is the fees. This is the same thing that's on the website right now.
I'll make a motion that we repeal, replace. I lost my papers here.
This is where the
section, whatever.
Chapter 64.
Excellent.
Any discussion?
Was there a second? I didn't hear a second.
Charlie
and Gino. Gino.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Better optics, audio.
I know. How come that doesn't work? We're still waiting on the part. $50,000.
We haven't paid the dime yet, though.
Could have been trying it out for nothing.
So, again, I was looking for a red line or any sort of discussion of what was taken out and what was.
So I sent that over.
No, we did not receive it.
Okay. I can email that.
No, we got something. No, we did not get that.
All right. I'm sorry you didn't receive it. I sent it. Well, you want to postpone it? And I'll send it all to you directly.
Yes,
please. Motion to postpone. It's made by Charlie Sampson, for the record.
Just going to send it to you directly.
Okay. Thank you. I'll second it. Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I'll send it to you directly as a group, but just don't respond as a group.
Yes.
Okay.
So just to let everyone know, when you get an email at the bottom, something changed on it, your PDF. I don't know if it does for you guys, but it did for me. You need an app to open it up. I had the app, so I didn't notice it until tonight when Charlie said he didn't get an email. So
I got the email where he attached it.
Correct.
So they are actually going to fix that. But just for the record, again, we've had this since May.
Correct. Just to let you know that if you didn't get it, that might be the reason why.
Okay.
You've had what since May? What are you talking about? You've had what since May?
We've had each one of these that we've just discussed in our May packet of 2022.
Right. And it's been discussed for the last 2 months. And we asked last month to see an ordinance, which is current, and what proposed changes are. We asked that last month. So it's being discussed.
All right. Just for the record, Barb, all the ordinances are on the town website.
Yeah, I know. I know what they are. I know where they are. But it's nice for somebody who maybe not be as smart as you looking at something or someone else to see a document and with changes. I mean, we've done that for all the years I've been on this board. If we wanted to change something, this is what you got, and this is what we're looking to do, and we discuss it. Whether we want to change, we want to add, we want to delete, it's been going on for years. I mean, all of a sudden, that process of our legislative function has dissipated.
Yeah, I think we just have to work smarter, not harder.
Okay, 9.4 is deleted. 10 new business. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There was not a second to his motion to postpone.
I did.
Yeah,
Sarah,
I did.
Too.
Yeah.
And we all voted.
Yeah, I voted. Yeah, we did vote. I voted yes for that one.
You might vote.
Yeah, I voted no for the first.
Yes, to postpone.
Even Barb said no.
Yeah, that was a double bar.
Ms.
President, I make a motion that we refund $8,792.65 as per the tax assessor's recommendation.
Second by Ron. Any discussion?
Tax collector, tax assessor. In favor. I thought Charlie said tax assessor.
No, tax whatever person.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Barb, you're smarter than I am. You know what I mean?
We'll make the minutes correct.
All in favor?
Aye.
Number 11. All right.
Motion to adjourn, 8:34.
Second.
1 hour.
Second, Dino, all in favor?
All right.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And I thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.